It's 6 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
President Obama phones President Putin on Ukraine and offers diplomatic solutions. UN refugee chief says Western CAR cleansed of Muslims. Bill Michaels reporting from Washington. As East-West diplomatic tensions simmer over Ukraine, the White House says President Barack Obama told Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin Thursday that Moscow's actions in Ukraine violate that country's sovereignty. A White House statement said the two leaders spoke by telephone for an hour, during which Mr. Obama detailed actions taken by Washington and its allies in response to the presence of Russian forces in the Crimean Peninsula. It's the first known direct contact between the leaders since Russian military personnel appeared in the Ukrainian territory Saturday. Meanwhile, President Obama says the United States considers an upcoming referendum on Ukraine's future illegal and has ordered restrictions on U.S. visas and financial sanctions for Russians and Ukrainians who are impeding the democratic process in Ukraine. VOA White House correspondent Luis Ramirez filed this report.
Senior officials did not identify the individuals, but said the list includes both Russians and Ukrainians who have been most directly involved in destabilizing Ukraine. On Capitol Hill, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State Eric Rubin told the House Foreign Affairs Committee,
"And today, the United States has marshaled a full package of measures aimed at demonstrating the force of U.S. resolve in the face of unprovoked military aggression, intervention, and threats. Pursuant to the President's guidance, the State Department is putting in place visa restrictions on a number of officials and individuals."
Officials on Thursday said the penalties could be removed if Moscow returns its troops to Russian bases in Ukraine and recognizes Ukraine's new government. Luis Ramirez, VOA News, at the White House.
United Nations refugee chief Antonio Guterres says the western part of Central African Republic has been cleansed of most Muslims as he and others plead for help from the Security Council. Guterres told the council Thursday that no visit he has made in the last 8 years as High Commissioner has caused him more anguish than CAR. He said the barbarity, brutality, and inhumanity is shocking. The council is considering whether to send a 12,000-member peacekeeping force to CAR, where fighting between Muslim and Christian militias has killed numerous civilians and left hundreds of thousands homeless and fleeing for their lives. A neighbor of Oscar Pistorius says he found the Olympic athlete kneeling and praying over his dying girlfriend after he shot her in his Pretoria home. Testifying on the fourth day of Pistorius' trial, radiologist Johan Stipp said he entered the athlete's home minutes after hearing screams and shots and saw Pistorius weeping by Riva Steenkamp's body.
Oscar was crying all the time. He prayed to God to please let her live. She must not die. He said at one stage while he was praying that he will dedicate his life and her life to God if she would just only live and not die that night.
Stipp said he tried to help the 29-year-old model, but that she showed no signs of life. Japan says it will not provide any aid to North Korea until the issue of Japanese nationals abducted by the North is resolved. Tokyo's minister in charge of the abduction issue tells VOA that North Korea needs to understand that there is little Pyongyang can accomplish with Tokyo until the issue is settled. He added that he would play a part in any negotiations with Pyongyang if they could lead to a resolution of the matter. Cuba has accepted a European Union invitation to begin talks on improving ties. Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez says Cuba is willing to discuss human rights as part of discussions that would end what it considers a one-sided relationship with Europe. EU officials said last month the bloc would seek to upgrade ties with Cuba to broaden economic cooperation. They cautioned they would demand more progress on respecting human rights and civil liberties. British and American researchers predict that global warming could mean the spread of the deadly disease malaria to places where it is practically unknown. Writing in the journal Science, the researchers say they found what they call indisputable evidence of the effects of climate change. The World Health Organization says malaria kills more than 600,000 people a year, with Africa especially hard hit. For more on these stories, visit voanews.com. Reporting from Washington, I'm Bill Michaels, VOA News.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington.
And I'm Odette Frazier. Today is Friday, March 7th. And here are some of the stories we are covering. Central African Republic urges the United Nations to quickly send a peacekeeping force.
We need to act now to avoid Central Africa falling more and more into chaos and becoming a potential breeding ground for international terrorism.
Toussaint Kongo Dudu, Foreign Minister of the Central African Republic, was speaking through an interpreter. Repairs have begun in the CAR from last year's looting by Seleka rebels. Nigeria's new opposition party launches its platform, and African youths are called upon to use social media to bring about the prosecution of war criminals.
We are beginning to move toward a new way of relationships among peoples of all kinds. So don't give up hope for it. Keep striving for it in a peaceful way. Only through peaceful means can you achieve the rule of law.
Benjamin Ferenc is former prosecutor of Nazi war criminals. Tomorrow is International Women's Day, and we'll examine ways to improve women's conditions globally. And we'll talk with a young Ghanaian musician as the diaspora celebrates Ghana's Independence Day.
Those stories plus Mark Oldman's sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The foreign minister of the Central African Republic has asked the UN Security Council to quickly send a UN peacekeeping force to his country. The minister highlighted the deteriorating conditions in the CAR and warned that his country could be infiltrated by international terrorist groups. VOA's Margaret Bashir has details from the United Nations.
Toussaint Kongo Dudu urged the 15-nation Security Council to quickly authorize a robust peacekeeping force for his country, saying a delay will only cost more lives. He's heard here through an interpreter.
We need to act now to avoid Central Africa falling more and more into chaos and becoming a potential breeding ground for international terrorism. This is not far off.
He said they have seen elements of the Sudan-based Janjaweed militias already involved in abuses carried out by the predominantly Muslim Seleka rebels. He also warned of threats from Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb and said that the Nigerian group Boko Haram is again not far off. The minister said his government believes only the United Nations has the necessary assets to put in place a multidimensional peacekeeping operation. The African Union has some 6,000 peacekeepers in the country, working alongside 2,000 French troops, trying to calm sectarian violence that has killed thousands and displaced nearly 1 million people. The European Union plans to dispatch 1,000 troops in the coming weeks, and the UN Secretary General has appealed to the international community to send additional reinforcements. In a report to the Security Council this week, Secretary General Ban Ki-moon recommended the rapid deployment of up to 10,000 UN peacekeepers and 1,820 police. His peacekeeping chief, Hervé Letsous, told the council it would take about 6 months to plan and deploy a UN mission, which would have as its main priority the protection of civilians.
Of course, we are fully aware that this will be a particularly challenging environment for a United Nations peacekeeping missions. Yet we believe that the United Nations is uniquely positioned to deploy and to sustain a multidimensional operation with the full range of capacities that are required to address the deep-rooted nature of this complex crisis.
The peacekeeping chief said there would be an initial surge in troops and police that would be drawn down as the security environment improves, allowing the UN to focus on civilian and state-building activities. But that milestone could be many months away. UN High Commissioner for Refugees Antonio Guterres and UN Humanitarian Chief Valerie Amos, who made separate visits to the Central African Republic last month, both stressed the dire humanitarian situation. Security Council members will now begin discussions about a UN peacekeeping force and are expected to authorize one by the end of this month. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
The rebellion in the Central African Republic last year turned into the worst looting spree the country has ever seen. The Seleka rebels and criminal gangs pillaged businesses, homes, government offices, religious missions, health centers, and public utilities. Nick Long reports from the CAR on the extent of the damage and the start of repairs.
The CAR's National Union of Business Leaders recently submitted a list of companies that suffered looting and vandalism after March the 24th of last year, the day the Seleka Rebel Alliance seized power in Bangui. The list of 23 companies includes most of the important businesses in the country. While the scale of their losses has yet to be calculated, visiting just a few sites around Bangui gives an indication of how damaging the recent upheavals have been. VOA visited the main depot of the biggest road construction firm in the country, the China International Fund. One of the managers, Syriac Mutumba, says looters took vast amounts of building materials and equipment.
Ils ont vidé les containers où il y avait des ciments. Ici, nous avons quelques réserves de fer à béton.
He says they emptied the containers of cement and also they took the steel reinforcement bars that the Chinese had stocked in 8 of the containers, so now there is nothing. Mutumba says 400 tons of steel bars were loaded onto trucks by the Seleka and driven away to Chad, he believes, because that is where many Seleka mercenaries came from. Several vehicles were stolen, he says, and it's clear some of the other vehicles were taken apart. He estimates the company took losses of about $14 million from the looting. Some figures have been collected for damage to health structures. The United Nations says that out of 117 health structures assessed to date, fully 50% were looted and 42% damaged. The head of a health centre in Bangui's Petevo district, Uba Musoro, showed VOA around the premises.
L'état de lieu, comme vous le voyez maintenant, il n'y a plus rien. Les médicaments étaient pillés.
Well, as you see, he says, there's nothing left. The medicines were stolen, everything was looted, including a sum of money. The medical charity Alima, with help from the UN Children's Fund, has started rejuvenating another health centre in Bangui, installing a generator, repairing a water tank, and providing equipment, salaries, and training. VOA asked a Seleka commander who's still in Bangui, Mahamat Dafan, how the looting could have been allowed to happen.
On a taxé Seleka de à raison, hein, de diable. Il y a eu des pillages, des violations des droits.
Seleka was rightly accused, says Stefan, of being the devil. There was looting, there were human rights violations, unacceptable abuses. But, he adds, what people have seen with the anti-Balaka militias has been even worse. It is true that Muslims' houses, businesses and mosques have been systematically destroyed since December. Nick Long for VOA News, Bangui.
Since Nigeria's new mega opposition party formed last year, it has made it clear that it does not support the ruling People's Democratic Party. From the site of a rally Thursday in Abuja, Heather Murdoch reports for VOA on what the opposition leaders say they do support.
The People's Democratic Party has run Nigeria since the nation became a democracy in 1999. Formidable opposition parties have challenged the PDP in elections, but could not compete with each other and the ruling party. Last year, after years of trying and failing, the major opposition parties merged in the All Progressive Congress to contest the 2015 elections. Several of Nigeria's powerful state governors have defected to the new party. At a conference Thursday in Abuja, APC leaders said fighting corruption is one of the new party's main priorities. Babatunde Fashola is the governor of Lagos State, Nigeria's financial capital.
And let there be no doubt in our minds at all about the link between corruption and the lack of jobs in our country. If we had a government that is serious about fighting corruption, there will be financial resources to create jobs. Instead of stopping this corruption, this government pardons those convicted of corruption and removes those who point it out.
The new party also says it will push for job creation, educational reform, religious freedom, and unity among Nigeria's ethnic and religious groups. 16 of Nigeria's 36 governors attended the rally, joined by other opposition leadership, including former military ruler and 2011 presidential candidate Muhammadu Buhari. Analysts say the biggest challenge for the formerly competing parties will be to stand behind a single leader in the upcoming elections. The candidate will likely face President Goodluck Jonathan, who has not made a formal announcement but is expected to run. Buhari blames Nigeria's problem, like mass unemployment, widespread abject poverty, and an escalating insurgency in the north on the current government.
We have tremendous human and material resources, but our lack of ability to put good leadership to manage these enormous resources and human, both human and material, has become our problem. And the youth are becoming highly agitated.
Nearly 1,000 people were killed in post-election violence in 2011, and upcoming elections are expected to be the most hotly contested in Nigerian history. The new opposition party has hopes to win the popular vote and then pull off the first peaceful transition of power. Heather Murdoch for VOA News, Abuja.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Botte in Washington.
And I'm Odette Frazier. Today is Friday, March 7th. Please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com.
The time on Daybreak Africa is 15 minutes past the hour.
A former prosecutor of Nazi war criminals has called on Africa's youth to use social media to engage and help with the prosecution of people who commit crimes against humanity on the continent. Benjamin Ferenc, former United States Army chief prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials, also says the United States would prefer a law of peace rather than war. His comments followed complaints by some human rights groups that the United States has repeatedly refused to be a signatory to the Rome Statute that established the International Criminal Court. Ferenc tells reporter Peter Clotty he's hopeful for a peaceful and just world.
The U.S. is a great democracy, and it's unavoidable that there are differences of opinion. The great majority of people of the world, including the United States, would prefer a law of peace rather than war. The United States is the same. But because of the construction of its democracy, two-thirds would have to agree to the acceptance of any treaty before the country would be bound. That's very difficult to obtain. In fact, on an issue of this kind, which is new to the world, it's practically impossible to obtain at this time. However, the great majority of young people particularly recognize that a world where all human beings can live in peace and dignity, regardless of their race or creed, which has been the credo of my life, is a better world than the world that we now have. And I'm hopeful that one day, if they stay with it and persist in trying to create it, they will have a more peaceful world than I have seen.
You have called on the U.S. government to be more cooperative. What has been the attitude, and do you foresee any changes to the better?
The world has always lived with the glorification of war and violence. That has got to change. It's a very fundamental thing based on their respect for their own religion, for their own nationality, for their own economic condition. It can change, and it will change, and it is changing. The fact that we do have an International Criminal Court today which condemns crimes against humanity is an indication that change is on the way. And it's up to the young people, using the new information technology like Voice of America, that hope lies that the change will come sooner rather than later. But that it's inevitable, I have no doubt, or there will be no planet left.
Finally, what would be your message to Africans, to Americans, and to the world at large about the International Criminal Court?
My message to them is that see the progress which has been made. It has really been fantastic. I'm aware of all the difficulties, that it's too long, it's too slow, it's not universal, it's too expensive. All of those criticisms are correct, but it's a prototype. We are beginning to move toward a new way of relationships among peoples of all kinds. So don't give up hope for it. Keep striving for it in a peaceful way. Only through peaceful means can you achieve the rule of law.
Benjamin Ferenc is former prosecutor of Nazi war criminals. He spoke with reporter Peter Clotty from Nuremberg, Germany.
As the world marks International Women's Day tomorrow, Saturday, some women say the best way to improve conditions for their sisters and their families is through better education in the so-called STEM subjects, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Viewers Mariama Diallo reports from Washington.
First Lady Michelle Obama honors 10 women for their leadership in advocating for human rights, women's equality, and social progress.
These women have spent years in schools and universities equipping themselves with the knowledge and skills they now use to tackle the challenges before them. And that's a story I can relate to because it's the story of my life.
In the United States, a group of women marked International Women's Day by encouraging others to follow them into science, technology, engineering, and mathematics fields usually dominated by male. Don McGinley is with the technology company 3M, co-sponsor of a three-day marathon event this week to mentor women in the so-called STEM education programs.
It's an opportunity to celebrate the International Women's Day and to celebrate successful careers, especially of women in engineering and technology.
During the virtual event, successful businesswomen share insights and offer advice to women worldwide.
It's showing them coaching, mentoring, and exposing them early in their careers to what those types of fields of study can be and can do.
University of Maryland, Baltimore County Professor Marie Desjardins teaches computer science and engineering.
If you look at the statistics, well over half of all of the STEM jobs that will be created in the next 10 to 15 years are in computing. And yet when people talk about STEM, they tend to be thinking about like biology and physics, and those are great areas, but that's not where the big job growth is going to be.
Desjardins also says exposing kids at an early age is key to getting them interested in STEM.
Make sure your kids are getting that from an early age so they think of themselves as creators of technology, as creators of new ideas, not just following the rules.
For the women honored this week at the U.S. State Department, education helped them help others. Dr. Nazreen Oriakil, who once performed 17 surgeries in one night in Afghanistan, spoke on behalf of the group. She says empowering women means empowering a society and generation. In Washington, Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Kobe Maxwell.
Ghana marked 57 years of independence from Britain yesterday, Thursday. Here in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, a big Independence Day gala is being planned for later today, Friday, with special performance by Kobe Maxwell, a young Ghanaian musician, singer, actor, and producer. Maxwell visited our studio and talked with James Butty about his career and tonight's Diaspora Independence Day celebration.
Kobe Maxwell, welcome to the Voice of America.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So right now for me, I don't know where to begin because I think you're a man of many, many hats. So let's begin with your musical career. What's the latest in your musical career?
Well, the latest is my new tracks. That is also a soundtrack for the movie that we just filmed. It's a D movie that we'll talk about it a little bit later. But this is a soundtrack for the movie, but it's also my new album that will be released 2014.
You say that your goal is to maintain the authenticity of African music while trying to incorporate the sounds of others. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, I mean by that is African music. I was born and grew up in an African music environment. I've been inspired by Serge Hima Sekela, Miriam Makeba, great Mama Africa, Manny Dibango, Isundo. So as a young man and a guitar player, I've been inspired with these men that have done African music, playing original African music. But we in a generation now that playing just strictly African music of what they have done may not also reach out to a certain audience that I personally want to reach out to. And therefore, I decided I want to really do African music, but also mix with a Western influence.
Yesterday, Thursday, was Ghana's Independence Day. First of all, I hear you have a performance coming up or a program. Is that in connection with the Ghanaian Independence Day?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's yesterday now, I guess, in Ghana, but actually it's today for us that we're still celebrating our 6th March Independence Day. Yes. And this is a big deal just because our independence was 1957. And it's 57 is today. So it's 57, which is our lifetime. I don't know who else will meet that. So we're having a party, which is Ghana Independence Day, but it's for Africans to come together and celebrate our forefathers' vision that we can be united. And I think it's our time we're doing with music, with modern, with movies, and so on, for us to get together and feel that we are all the same people, just different countries. So we have the event with artists from Sierra Leone performing, Liberia performing, Cameroonian stars coming there, myself performing as Ghanaian artist, and also have a special guest came all the way, flew from Ghana to be a host for this event.
Kobe Maxwell, we do thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I, you know, thank you very much for giving us this platform to share what we're doing and what is going on in the DMV and to the diaspora world and our motherland back home as well. Thank you.
Kobe Maxwell is a young Ghanaian musician, singer, actor, and producer. He was speaking with James Butte in our Washington studio.
It's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Mark Owuma in Johannesburg, South Africa. A very good Friday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we begin with volleyball. Niger beat Senegal by 3-1 as Congo-Brazzaville dismissed Seychelles in straight sets at the African Men's World Volleyball Championship qualifiers in Tunis on Thursday. Today, Friday, Seychelles play Niger before Tunisia and Congo-Brazzaville clash. Tunisia start the final day of the round-robin contest in the lead with 9 points. Congo-Brazzaville have closed the gap and have 8 points. Niger 4, Seychelles 3, while Senegal end their campaign with no point. The winners of the Congo-Brazzaville-Tunisia tie will join Cameroon and Egypt in representing Africa at the World Volleyball Championships in Poland later this year. Turning to athletics, on-form Ethiopian distant runner Genzebe Dibaba looks set to steal the limelight at the IWF World Indoor Championship, which gets underway in Sopot, Poland today, Friday. The triple world record holder comes up against Kenyan defending champion Hellen Onsando Obiri in the women's 3,000 meters. Ethiopian defending champion Mohamed Aman seeks to defend his 800-meter title. Another Ethiopian, Hagos Gebrehiwet, is favorite to win the men's 3,000 meters. In the sprints, Muriela Hore, the world's fastest female 60-meter sprinter, seeks to win Ivory Coast's first ever medal at the World Indoor Championships, while Nigeria's Regina George is a strong contender in the women's 400 meters. All finalists in each event will earn cash prizes ranging from $40,000 down to $6,000. In all, over $2.2 million in prize money is up for grabs at the three-day event. In cycling, a day-long farm circuit cycling race takes place in the Algerian capital, Algiers, tomorrow Saturday. This will be followed by the start of Algeria's week-long premier international cycling event, the Tour of Algiers, starting on Sunday. Finally, in football, Lesotho host Swaziland in a friendly match in Maseru today, Friday. The two sides face off again in Maseru on Sunday. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa, wishing all a sporty weekend. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a very good weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Here's our listener mail for this Friday morning, March 7th.
Hello, Daybreak Africa. I think the offer of counterinsurgency intelligence cooperation made by the United States government to the Nigerian government in order to reinvigorate the fight against suspected activities of violent Boko Haram is a thankful gift. I also hope that President Goodluck Ebele Jonathan will consider for inclusion in the scheme the recurring violent clashes between nomadic Ketu rearing herdsmen of the Fulani tribe and some communities of the Sikh tribe in Benue State. Thank you. Your loyal listener, Ambrose Ajio from Makurdi in Benue State of Nigeria.
Thank you, listener, for your comment. Please send your viewpoints to Daybreak Africa at voanews.com.
And briefly before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. United Nations Refugee Chief Antonio Guterres says the western part of the Central African Republic has been cleansed of most Muslims as he and others plead for help from the Security Council. Guterres told the council on Thursday that no visit he has made in the last 8 years as High Commissioner has caused him more anguish. That's it for this Friday, March 7th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Tracy Carter, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Stryak, as well as post-editor Mark Oman, along with our engineer James Harmon, I'm James Butte, along with Odette Frazier in Washington, saying, have a lovely weekend, Africa.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.